Well, good morning, Spring Creek. Really a blessing to be with you today. Let's pray together. Oh God, we pray in this time that your goodness, your good news, the news of Jesus Christ would reach us. You know for each person in this room where we need to be reached, where we are ready to hear, where our lives are ready to be shaped and transformed, where we need healing, where we need your touch. And so come, Holy Spirit, open all of our hearts and our minds that we might receive with joy what you have for us today. In Christ's name, amen. I'm really excited to be here with you again. Thanks to Pastor Dinah for inviting me to be here. My family and I have actually been to this church several different times because my in-laws go to this church. They are wonderful people. If you don't know the Brownings, Randall and Christy Browning. Randall, I like how you often end up center screen during, I'm like, yep, there's my celebrity father-in-law, Randall Browning on guitar. But also Christy Browning is amazing and such a gift to me, but I know is a gift to you if you get to know her. So we're blessed to be here. Another reason I love being at this church is because I believe around this time, this year, you are celebrating 25 years as a church. You are still a young church. You just got to the age where you can rent a car. Congratulations. So, I mean, think about that. That's pretty young still. Like, you might not have even moved out of the house, right, at 25 nowadays. And so, 25 years old, you're a relatively new church plant. And what that means is that in your DNA, in who you are as a church, is this desire to go, to reach new people, to be among new places, to try new things, to take risks. And something about this church is in you, and it brought you here, and it's why this church is here today. And so whether you were here 25 years ago or not, that is part of who Spring Creek is. And I am a church planter. I am somebody who cares deeply about new places for new people where Christ can interact. And so I get to have this weird appointment, as Pastor just told you. I get to do something where, after 11 years of being a traditional pastor in Kerrville and north of Austin and Leander, I started really feeling the call to do more experimental church planting outside of the walls of the church. And so one thing that I get to do is an online service that started during COVID. I thought that would be over by now, but we gathered people that were from different parts of Central Texas, and so we still meet weekly at 4 p.m. on Zoom, and each one of these people is doing amazing things in their neighborhoods and communities to be missionaries, sent people by God. And then in our community, in the neighborhood we live in, we have a dinner church that we get to do where neighbors come over to our house, and we eat together, and we open the scriptures, and we pray with one another. And that's a blessing too. There are so many different ways of being what we call new wineskins. We are the New Wineskin Initiative. And so I am passionate about this really good news. And I'm going to cut to the chase and tell you the good news. And that is that God is with us and that God is even in the midst of this crazy world. This world that sometimes we are maybe even afraid of is a world where God has chosen to be and chosen to work and chosen to invite us. And so that is good news. So let me just kind of remind us of our current reality in the midst of that news. Our world is crazy. And the rate of change in this world just continues to get faster. I don't know if you've noticed that. Things are changing all the time, not just with technology, but our society is changing. And sometimes it feels like it's kind of spinning out of control, right? Even in my lifetime, I have watched things happen that are unprecedented. I've seen division among people in our society like I've never seen before. I've seen the church change. I've seen culture change. And I know many of you have seen more than I've seen, right? And in the midst of this change, we become disoriented. And in the midst of this change, many of us become anxious. And when there's change and there's not stability, we often become afraid. We might become frustrated. We might become sad and grieve because change is hard. Change in its own way is loss, right? It means we don't get to go back to what we knew. We might feel like we just got settled and then things change. That's the reality that we're in. And where it's left the church is the church is often in a place in the midst of that change where it feels like, is the church in decline? Are people coming back to church? Do people want to come to church out in our world? Can we afford to be the church? Can we do the things God has called us to do? These questions come up. And it leaves us, even as church people who live by faith, it leaves us sometimes anxious and disoriented and maybe afraid and maybe frustrated. And I come today to confess that I have often felt those things. I have been appointed to this new church start work. We were called by God to move to San Antonio a couple years ago. And although we had an online community, we knew we were being called to San Antonio to try to be a part of starting new wineskins, right? Trying to start new faith communities. And we landed in our new neighborhood and knew nobody. Zero people in the neighborhood. And I remember it was the middle of the year for our kids, school year. So January, they're going back to school, to a school they've never been to. So we have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old at that time. I remember our kids go to school the first week of school. The house is finally quiet. We're unpacking. And I remember sitting there and feeling, I don't know how this is going to work. And I just landed, right? I'm supposed to be like energized and ready to go. But I remember looking out into the neighborhood thinking, I know no one. And I remember thinking, where's our world going? Do people want to go to a new church? Do they want to do something different? People are divided. I don't know what's happening. And I started to feel anxiety. I started to feel, I shouldn't say started, I had a sense of desperation. And I remember, maybe you felt this before, I started to feel this heavy burden. How am I going to do what needs to be done? How are we going to make money as a church? How are we going to have people, enough people, as a church? And those questions started to feel heavier and heavier upon me, and they started to weigh. And it was right around that time, within like the first 10 days after we moved, our kids, again, had just gone to school a few days, that there was a knock at the door. And I remember going downstairs, and there's a little boy outside about Asher's age. Asher was 10 at this time. I opened the door, and he goes, "Hi, I'm Harry. Is this where Asher lives?" And I thought to myself, yeah, but how do you know? So I said, "Harry, how do you know this is where Asher lives?" And he goes, "He told me, he described it to me, and I'm glad this is the right house." And so they went and played together, and then afterward I got from Harry his mom and dad's phone number so that we could get a hold of them, and hey, suddenly we knew somebody in the neighborhood. No kidding, the next day, there's another knock at the door. Another little boy about Asher's age. It's James this time. And next to him is Matt, his dad. And Matt's introducing himself to me and saying, "Hey, we heard Asher lives here." Asher wasn't even at home at the time, but I got to meet Matt and I got to meet James. I found out later, by the way, Matt is a really good friend of mine in the neighborhood. This guy is super introverted. I don't know what in God's power got him to come to a stranger's door and knock on it, but he came that day. And no kidding, no less than 2 days later, there's another knock at the door. This time it's Penelope and her mom, Lindsay. They were from guess whose class? Asher's class, right? They had found out that we live there. They have cookies for us. And Lindsay, this amazing person, starts inviting us into the community to meet people. And we're like, wow, we've never been welcomed so much in a neighborhood before. And I think it's that next week, Asher comes home one day. Asher, remember this? He goes, "Dad, I probably should have let you know about this earlier, but there's a Nerf war that's going to be happening at our house." And I said, "Oh, okay, well, when is that?" And he goes, it's today. It's tonight. It's like in an hour." And so we're like, all right, there's a Nerf war happening, you know? Kids are going to be coming over. And no sooner is there someone at the door who says, "Hi, I'm Andy's uncle, and here's my son, Oliver. Thanks for throwing this Nerf war party." And we're like, "Well, thank you for coming. We're so glad you made it." And somebody pulls up and, like, kicks their kid out of the car and says, "We can't stay, but thanks for throwing the party." And then we look down the street, and there's this kid with a wheelbarrow full of Nerf bullets that's coming down for the Nerf war. And Megan and I are just trying to get out enough drinks and snacks for the people that we did not know were even coming to our house a few hours before. And so it's around that time, as I reflected later that night, that some things started to hit me. You know, I came into that neighborhood, like I've come into so many things as a church person, thinking that it is my responsibility, it's my job, it's my calling to plant the church, to save the church, to help the church, to help my community, right? And it became crystal clear to me that God was already doing that work. And God was knocking on my door again and again and again to say, join me. Join me in the work that I'm already doing. And the other thing I started to realize, you know this passage that talks about sick people in need of a doctor? Do you remember my anxiety, my desperation, my sense as a pastor, as a faithful person? I was starting to put faith in who? Myself. I need a doctor. And God's coming to my door as a doctor, as a healer, to come say, I've got a better way. I've got a better way, preacher, to plant the church. And so we come to our passage of Scripture, and maybe you begin to see the connections, but Jesus is doing what he does a lot. He's outside of the circles of religion. This time he's walking along and sees a tax collector named Matthew. We all know that tax collectors, they were kind of lumped together with sinners. These were not what we might think of as church people, right? These were the people who did not belong in the religious establishment. This is who Jesus invites to follow him. And the religious people are questioning, why? What are you doing? How does this work? Explain it to us. And then he continues to be questioned, and that's when Jesus uses this analogy. And he says, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Because if you do, and this is me trying to explain the little bit I know about winemaking, but the fermentation process of new wine as it's growing into old wine creates pressure and gas. And if you put that in an enclosed skin, it is going to explode if it's already been used before. It hasn't been stretched out, or it has already been stretched out, and so it gets stretched beyond its limits. And so what do you lose? You lose both the old wineskin and the new wine. And we have to ask, well, what's Jesus talking about here? I think it could be a lot of things, but one thing I'm convinced Jesus is talking about are people and the spaces where we gather people. And those people, we are wine. We are people. And think about what wine is. Wine, listen, it takes something that's rather ordinary and turns it into something more. Has your faith and your relationship with God at some point taken who you are and made you into something more? That's what we are. We are wine. And what Jesus is saying is there's always new wine because God's a winemaker. And God is always finding people, tax collectors, sinners, people that often the religious establishment doesn't expect to be. Wine, God's making wine. Maybe some people in this room, at some point, you were that person that you thought, no, never. God's never going to make new wine of me. And God found you. And so that's what's happening. And Jesus is saying, and this is important, he says, we have these old wineskins, we have these systems, these ways of kind of being people of faith that have been established. And you can't always take new wine and put it into the new wineskin. Or the old wineskins. It won't fit. They'll both burst. They'll be lost. Let me try to make some sense of this for you. Can you think of somebody in your family or in your social circle, in your neighborhood or in your workspace or school? Can you think of somebody that just isn't going to come to church? They just don't, for whatever reason, they're not going to fit. It doesn't fit for them. It doesn't work, right? We all know people like that because that's most people. We're now the minority. We're the ones that like the old wineskin. This works for us. I grew up in this. I love it. Sometimes I go, why doesn't everybody love this? Shouldn't everybody love this? But you all know people, don't you? Good people that God is even working with. They're not coming to church. Now, what Jesus says is, I want both of them preserved. I want the old wineskin, and I need something for the new wine. You've got to have new wineskin. A new place for that new wine to expand and grow and learn. We, at our dinner church, what ended up happening is a lot of the people who were at that Nerf War, good job, Asher, a lot of the people at that Nerf War became friends of ours, we began to have trust with, and several of them helped us begin a dinner church. In our house, we, you know, even that was hard for me to say, like, hey, do you want to do like Jesus stuff? We hang out, we have dinner together, but let's talk about Jesus. And so that started, and just this last week, we had dinner church, and one of my good friends in the neighborhood said, You know, I stopped going to church because I saw so much hypocrisy and I saw so much judgmentalism, and it just didn't look like Jesus, and I didn't want to be a part of that. And even his wife was like, oh, that's why? That's why you didn't want to go to church anymore? And then he said, this is a community that I want to be a part of. This looks like Jesus. Now, I believe this community looks like Jesus, but for whatever reason, he needed a new community. He needed new wineskins. Are you following me? And there are so many people that are looking for something like that. And here's the other wild thing. Everybody in this room, I truly believe all of you, you are in proximity to God's new wine. That means that there are people in your life that God loves and God's grace is working in their lives. There are people you know that are, they may be family members that are just amazing and have gifts and have dreams, and God is working with grace in their lives, and maybe they're not coming to church. And I'm not saying that all of us have to create a dinner church or an online church, but if we are sensitive to God's Spirit and we try to say, how might I be a part of helping this person find, have that wine become more mature, we might get to be a part of it. I hope you understand that new wine and old wine are both good. Can I get an amen? I hope you hear me saying we need old wineskins and we need new wineskins. Amen? Y'all like wine? You don't have to say yes, it's church. Some of you don't. You know, there are other things we could use in this analogy that you do like to drink or eat or something else. But the point is the same. We can get more. We can have enough. We don't need to have just some for some people. Let's do it all. God is abundant. God is saying, I want all people to be blessed. And what continues to blow my mind is that I, as somebody who thinks often I'm called to do new wineskins, I'm also being called to be healed. That I am being called to be made into new wine myself. And so going out and doing this work is not all about mission and evangelism only. It is about our own discipleship. And it's about learning to follow the living God, learning to discern the work of the Holy Spirit, learning to be a part of the adventure that our God is inviting us to be a part of. So will you listen to that knock at the door that comes every other day that says, come, discover new wine, discover new wineskins, become new wine yourself. Listen, you will hear it. Be blessed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.